Bent. Wind northwest at 7, sunshine, 62 degrees Kenosha, 61 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We're finishing out the week with something very special and also out of the ordinary. This is one of those rare instances in which you can either listen to the morning show and or watch the morning show, because this was a morning show that was both audio and video recorded. And at some point on WGTD's Facebook page, and I believe on our website as well, WGTD.org, the video version of this conversation will be available for your viewing. And I would encourage you to seek that out. Here we go with today's morning show. And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I love libraries. I know a lot of you love libraries as well. You wouldn't be public radio listeners if you didn't love to read and immerse yourself in all kinds of books. And of course, there is no better place to explore the marvelous world of books and to expand our love of reading than a great public library. And the Kenosha Public Library has been a very impressive library system for quite some time. And they have recently opened a beautiful jewel in the heart of the Uptown neighborhood. A lot of people are calling it the new Children's Library. Its proper name, I'm told, is KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts, right there on 22nd Avenue. And I'm very excited that we can spend today's morning show talking with several of the librarians who make this beautiful new library go and who reach out to the patrons, many of whom are part of this neighborhood. And by the end of the hour, we'll be sitting down and having a serious conversation about some of the issues and concerns which really led to the creation of this beautiful facility. We're going to begin today with Heather Thompson, who is head of Youth and Family Services for the Kenosha Public Library, and several of her colleagues will be joining us in just a little bit. But Heather Thompson, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
And thank you for welcoming us into this beautiful facility. So maybe you could just give us at least a general sense of what prompted the Kenosha Public Library to want to open a new facility like this.
Well, you know, the director, Barb Bratton, and I used to dream about having a children's library, children's museum hybrid. And when we had the opportunity presented to us by the city to have this space, which was purchased with American Rescue Plan Act funds by the city, Barb said, it's got to be a children's library. So that's how we went about that. Yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about the whole notion of designing a facility. Once you know there's going to be space for it and some resources to make it happen, who was involved in the design of this and what kind of conversations went on about what this place should look like and what it should offer?
Actually, the entire Youth and Family Services team was involved in the design of this facility, as well as Barb Bratton and our assistant director, Brandy Cummings, our marketing team. You know, it was really a whole team effort. We worked with architects, Engberg Anderson, and they have an interior design firm. They made it this beautiful. They asked us what we wanted. We told them what we wanted. They told us what was actually possible and practical, and we went from there.
Of course, the other libraries of the Kenosha Public Library System have certain elements that are designed for children, and of course, beautiful and impressive, effective resources and so on. Were you anxious to make this distinct and different from what one finds in the other branches?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, it's distinct and different because it's completely for kids. And there's really very little here that's off limits, which is not the case at other libraries, you know. And also at other libraries, whether or not we tell people that they can be loud, their children can be loud in our spaces, it really doesn't feel that way to parents. But they really can hear. They can do whatever they want. If they want to play with the little door stoppers, and they have, then that's fine. So that alone makes it unique. But I also believe that we have a bigger focus on STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math here, and like free exploratory play where they're learning science concepts through play.
So, in other words, this is not all that quiet a library.
No, not at all. It can get very loud. It's quiet in here right now because we just opened, but it's very, very noisy sometimes.
So, would you say, as far as you know, this aligns with kind of a movement we see in libraries across the country in terms of moving towards this model, or is this still a relatively uncommon sort of public library facility?
I feel that it's relatively uncommon. I haven't heard of very many children's only libraries.
For those of you just joining us, we are bringing you today's morning show from KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts. That fancy name refers to the newest addition to the Kenosha Public Library System. And this is essentially a children's library and a beautiful library located at 6144 22nd Avenue. And we are about to do a bit of a walkthrough to show you some of what is here in the children's library. And I know that you have a colleague that maybe is going to be helping us at this part as well, and that would be Sean Wolf, who is learning coordinator here. So we hope she will step over without too much coaxing to be part of this conversation. So Sean, tell us what you are most involved in terms of your responsibilities here at the KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts.
Toys and learning. We know the power of play and kids' abilities to learn. So this beautiful, big, beautiful area around here and the art room, which I think we're going to do a walkthrough. We can talk more as we walk through. The activities in this area are primarily STEM activities, so science, technology, engineering, and math. But we know that those activities are powerful in their own right for learning about STEM topics, but they are also very powerful in increasing literacy. They are outstanding opportunities to build vocabulary and background knowledge, which are key literacy concepts, especially as kids get older. It helps with reading comprehension, and we know vocabulary is one of those things where you never are done. You can always learn more vocabulary. So all of these things provide a lot of opportunities for those things and for asking questions and helping kids learn to think for themselves and empower them to make decisions. They encourage a lot of collaboration, which we see all the time is really exciting. I mean, kids who don't know each other will jump in together. It's so much fun. It's very motivating. And so kids find ways to take turns and work as a team. A lot more than just toys.
Well, and it's interesting, you walk in and close to the front door are some books, but I find it really interesting that in terms of what catches the eye when you first walk in, it's not books at all. And of course, although a lot of what has driven the creation of this are concerns about childhood literacy, as you've just spoken about. Even this kind of thing, which does not involve books, does not directly involve literacy, can be very helpful in terms of building those skills. I suspect that's also something that's maybe we don't see that all that often in libraries. I mean, the name suggests these are places with books, but you're obviously expanding the notion of what a library should have.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Heather said, we think this is pretty unique as far as libraries go, this on the scale, but many libraries do have small play areas. All of our library branches have smaller play areas, and it's because we all recognize the power of play to help kids learn many things.
So maybe talk us through the specifics of what young people can play with in this part of the library.
Yeah, so we sort of set some things up here just as an invitation to play. A lot of times kids, when they come in, especially if they're the first kids of the day, and we've sort of tidied up, it's hard for them to know what to do with all this stuff. So I put a few things out just to give them an idea. But really, like I said, that they feel, once you get them started, they feel so empowered to experiment and create and test. This sort of play is really key in teaching kids to stick with things and helps with perseverance. And again, because it's so fun, it's so motivating. And so if they put a ball on this ramp and it jumps the track, that's a problem they need to solve because it's so fun and they want the ball to go all the way down and drop into the end. So they go back and they see where it jumped the track and they figure out how they might be able to make a change, and they'll fix something, they'll add something on. It's just so open-ended, and they're just constantly evolving and trying new things and learning as they go.
And now we magically find ourselves in probably the single most colorful corner of this amazing library, and this is the art room. And give us some sense, Sean, of what we are seeing here besides a dazzling array of colors and shapes.
Yeah, a couple different things. So as people walk in, we do have a couple of pre-designed activities, and we try to tie it into our monthly activities. So like this month, we're focusing on movement and some like physics concepts. So they can choose to do that. They could choose to do some iteration of that they create. And then we have the collage table, because we know no matter what we put out, kids are going to do what they're going to do with it. And that's awesome. We want them to be creative. And a lot of kids don't always get that opportunity. A lot of things they do are very structured. So
let me just describe this to our listeners who are only hearing and not seeing. I mean, some I hope will be seeking out the video. But if you're only hearing this, we're standing in front of a table that is covered with white paper. And then there's all kinds of cutout shapes and hole puncher and magic markers and children are, yeah, and scraps of all various shapes and sizes, and children are just invited to just do whatever the heck they want to do in terms of creating a collage. And then I assume at some point this white paper covering goes away and you start over.
Yes, it's overdue for a change out. And that's just what has stuck to this table, but a lot of it, this has all been created at the collage table, and of course a lot of it goes home too. So, and you can see behind you, these are all things that kids can just help themselves to. So lots of scraps, there are a variety of tools they can use, paper punches, stickers, pom-poms, pipe cleaners, craft sticks, origami paper, all of those things. They can just take whatever they want to use.
Wow. So Heather Thompson, you were saying that some of the elements here are elements in other public libraries, but I'm guessing this art room is sort of like the other art rooms in other libraries, but maybe on steroids. I mean, this just seems like taking it up another degree in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we'd like to think so. At our other locations, we don't have an art room. We have a art cart that we bring out on occasion, which is a very, very small version of this. And as you can see in here, it gets very messy, which is why we need it contained.
Well, and that allows for it to be messy then, maybe even messier than it would otherwise be.
It does, yes. And other than that, at our other libraries, we typically have like crafts and coloring sheets and that sort of thing where, you know, they can be creative with a craft, but they often make it similar to the example you gave.
And now we're going to walk through a little bit of the rest of this library. And again, for those of you just joining us, we're at KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts, the newest library in the Kenosha Public Library system. And right now we're with Heather Thompson, Head of Youth and Family Services, and Sean Wolf, who is Learning Coordinator. And several of their colleagues are going to join us a little bit later on in today's program. So we're looking at sort of the rest of this big main section, main room of the library. And although we've been talking up until now about kind of unconventional aspects of this library, you do have some books. In fact, it looks like you have quite a few books. Maybe just tell us a little bit about this particular collection. Again, it's all children's books, but maybe the kind of things that you and your colleagues think about and look for when you're choosing exactly what books should be on the shelf here.
Well, the books that are on the shelf here are not dissimilar from the books that are on the shelves at all of our children's areas. And we have a complete full spectrum of books available to children here, all the way from board books for babies and toddlers to our picture books to nonfiction for all of those ages, as well as chapter books that go up through around fifth grade, somewhere in there. We do have a slightly larger than usual focus on STEM books here so that children can, when they're learning about these concepts, such as we have a sign over here about gravitational potential energy, that if they're wondering what that is, we can direct them to a book about that and they can learn more.
Somebody is utilizing an interesting looking machine around. If Scott, you can take that in. What is that intriguing futuristic looking machine against the wall?
That is a self-checkout machine. So people just need to use their library card and their PIN number, and they can place an item on the pad and it checks out like magic, we like to say. But it's not magic, but it seems like magic.
Right. That's great. That's great. And I suppose it gives them even more a sense of ownership in the process of checking out a book. And then right beside that fancy machine is something else that just at a glance looks like several benches over here again by the wall. But there's something pretty fancy about that. I think you're going to tell us about that, Sean.
Yeah, just another one of those things I think was that we really thought about was how we can improve this experience for families. So we wanted the kids to be able to play, but we recognize that parents often need to get things done while they're at the library too. So those benches have laptop tables, so a parent can be right there alongside their child. They can still supervise, but they can get some work done while they're here as well.
Fantastic. So you're thinking about the whole family when you're putting this space together. All right, we're going to make our way around and see some other things that are here. And it's an amazing place. And the books go on and on and on. But now we're in a really special part of the library that I think someone called the baby garden. Who wants to tell us about the baby garden?
So the baby garden, while adjacent to the very bustling, active discovery area, is a little more sheltered. So a quieter, safer place for babies and toddlers. So we have toys over here as well for that age group. And our parenting collection is over here as well. So very strategically placed.
So in other words, books for parents?
Yes. Books for parents and educators, yeah. So again, supporting the whole family. And the toys in this area obviously have a different focus. A lot of things are sensory related because that's how young children learn. And it's, playing off of the typical play patterns we see, like pushing and pulling and attaching and detaching and things like that. So still a lot. It looks like toys, but a lot of thought goes into what we put out there.
And now I want to talk about what we find at this wall, because it's such a wonderful mix of old and new. That is, for a lot of us, even people as old as me, we remember these kind of books called board books. And then right beside them, something very futuristic looking that I want to talk about as well. But first, let's talk about this notion of board books. Yes. And what makes them so important.
Well, board books, sometimes board books are only printed as board books. Sometimes they will print full picture books onto a board book format for very popular picture books. And the important thing about them is that they are essentially made of like thick cardboard, so babies can chew them or try to rip at them, and it's way harder for them to destroy it than a traditional picture book. But they're also, you know, they're learning what a book is, and they're learning how it, you know, you go left to right and turn a page and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Fantastic. It's just wonderful to see them, and even one or two I recognize. And then right behind you is something that is not board books at all, I don't think. What is this? It says Fiber City Digital Inclusion.
Yes. So these were donated by the Sci-Fi Networks, Fiber City, and they are iPad, or not iPad, they're tablet checkout stations. So all you need to do is scan your library card here, and it will release one of the tablets. It'll release a tablet, and then the kids can use it in the building. It has free educational apps on it only. We only got the things that don't require payment and don't have any advertisements on them. And then when they're done with it, they just pop it back in, and it returns it. So it's a very neat system.
And we come now to one of the most popular spots in the entire library, I am told. Sean, explain what the Book Nook is.
The Book Nook is just what it says. It's just a cozy place to sit and read. We have a lot of really high activity areas, and it's important to have these spaces as well for kids to kind of hide away. But adults love it too. And I think everyone who sees it has to try it out.
Right. But you only have one.
Only one.
Oh, boy. I can see why it's popular. So, yeah, it's like a little letter J-shaped enclave built right into the wall. And, yeah, we can see how that would be sort of like a breakfast nook, but a book nook where one can curl up quietly with one of your favorite books. So we're just about at the end of the walkthrough portion of our tour. We have picture books over here, and, of course, that's maybe the thing a lot of people think of first when they think of children's books. Maybe you could just say a word about what you and your colleagues think about when you are selecting picture books to be part of your collection. What's important to make a picture book really effective and wonderful for kids to read?
Well, you know what? I'm actually not the picture book selector, but what I imagine that she does is she's looking at reviews. Professional reviews, making sure that they are well-reviewed books. We also look at, is it a popular topic? Is it something that kids are interested in? You know, reviewers aren't always going to review things like Bluey picture books, Bluey is a very, very popular topic, and it's definitely something kids are going to look for. So, and other than that, we're just looking for as broad a representation of the human experience as possible.
Nicely put. And I do see a few DVDs. I imagine you just can't have a library anymore without that element being a part of it. But I suppose you also think about that, too, in terms of what exactly is going to be available.
Absolutely. And here it's mostly just children's TV shows and children's movies. Mm-hmm. At other libraries, we have a much broader selection. But here it's just that.
And I do see a shelf that has Spanish books on it. Is that something we see at all the branches?
Yes, we have a Spanish collection at all of the branches.
Makes sense. You were saying that your restrooms are especially lovely, and the emblem that is on the door is nice, because even if you aren't quite able to read the word restroom, you still know clearly what it is. And then right next to it is a room that's called the wellness room. Explain what that's for.
The wellness room is for feeding young children or infants. So just a nice place for a parent to go and be in relative calm with their baby. And it's we can check it out for 30-minute periods.
It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. I wonder, once it opened, was there any experience of, oh my gosh, we forgot such and such? Or by and large, do you feel like this was planned and designed with care, that this is, in a sense, everything you would want it to be? Anyone want to field that question?
I think there's always going to be things that you forget. But for the most part, we did, I think, a great job of anticipating everything that we would need and that our patrons would need.
Sean, you agree?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Yeah, it was a long road and a lot of very small decisions made along the way, and it really just all came together, and it's doing what we wanted it to do.
For those of you just joining us, this particular morning show is coming to you from KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts. This is the newest addition to the Kenosha Public Library system, located at 6144 22nd Avenue, an absolutely amazing library for children and young people, with some nice amenities for the parents and grandparents as well. And by the way, what are your hours of operation? Who knows that off the top of their head?
It's 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 12 to 4 Saturday, Sunday.
And we actually have a couple of other spots in the library to be looking at. And right now we are in an amazing room that every library in the country should have. This is called the Calming Room. And even though that name is probably fairly self-explanatory, I'm going to have Sean talk a little bit more about how important this room is and what is in here and why it's in here. Sean.
Yeah, so calming rooms like this are an important part of a lot of educational settings. So there are a lot of kids who are already very familiar with what this can do for them. But especially at this library, because it is big and it is loud and there's lots of things going on, and sometimes some kids can get overwhelmed. And so this is a place that they can come to sort of reset. So you can see there's colorful lighting, there's comfortable seating, there's firm seating, there are weighted blankets, there are headphones, things to block out those sensory elements that can be overwhelming. There are some things that allow them to refocus. And we're working on some action cards to sort of help them think about their time here and to plan what they're going to do when they leave the room. So this is a room that anyone can use, and they just go to the desk and you can get 30 minutes in here. So
right behind us is actually something that almost looks a little bit like a children's tent. And I should think, like, yeah. And so when somebody finds even just sitting in a chair to be a little more than they want, if they really want to kind of shut themselves away, yeah, then they can do that. And I think we should just mention also that the colors don't just automatically change like this necessarily, although you can set them to do that. But there's some kind of control where a youngster can actually choose whatever color they want it to be. Yeah. And I suppose there are studies that show that that's important, too.
Sure. I mean, we think it's so cool, right? Everybody who comes in here is so excited about the lights. So, you know, kids are too, and it just, you know, it's calming. It can be calming. They can control the control pad. So it allows them to, again, sort of focus on that very specific thing. And it's just another calming technique.
We have just a couple of other things to talk about, and one of them is a set of shelves that have graphic novels on them, and some of our listeners will be, of course, acquainted with graphic novels, including me, but some might not understand what a graphic novel actually is, and you were saying what a really important facet these are to your collection. Explain why.
They are incredibly popular for children who are more reticent readers. It's because they are essentially comic books. They are very highly illustrated novels. And it can feel like they're not doing serious reading, quote unquote, when they're reading a graphic novel or a comic book. But there are studies that show that comic books have incredibly high and sophisticated vocabulary words in them. And so they're actually learning quite a bit and learning to read quite a bit in a format that they enjoy. So we love them here.
That's great. And of course, we have chapter books, which a lot of our listeners will be acquainted with. And you're holding an example of something that is called a wonder book. And this will be sort of the most modern reiteration of something that a lot of our listeners will be familiar with in a very different sort of format. Explain what a wonder book is.
Well, a wonder book has a player right on the inside of it that will read aloud to the child and tell them when to turn the page so that they can become familiar with the book. If they're not quite comfortable reading all of the words in a book yet, they're learning to read as it reads to them. And this, as you said, it was something that usually came in like a book and CD sort of format. And we still have some of those, but CD players are becoming a rarity.
Absolutely. And once upon a time, maybe a book with a cassette built into the cover. Yes. So this is great. And tell us about the wonderful ceiling. I mean, anybody who walks in here needs to really take a look at the ceiling. Explain a couple of the choices that have been made.
Well, so as you can see here, we have like allusions to trees, like birch wrapped columns here. These are meant to represent leaves, of course, of a tree, but they also work as sound dampeners, which is very important in this library. And up above that, we left all of the mechanicals exposed on purpose so that children can see what the inside of a building looks like and can maybe, you know, take that scientific leap of wondering what's that pipe do and what's this pipe do and all that kind of stuff. And everybody's favorite thing I find out when they find out what it is these things on the wall are living moss, and we don't even have to water it. It just takes what it needs from the humidity in the environment.
Wow, that's great. That is great. And if we look really closely, we see tree branches, a cat up in a tree, a couple of geese here and there. So it's as though even when they're inside the library, you want them to have a sense that they're also part of the wider world.
Absolutely. We really tried hard for a blend between nature and industrial.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And as we finish out this tour of the library, we are joined by the manager, Khalil Griffin. He manages this particular facility, the KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts, and also the nearby Uptown Library, which a lot of people are familiar with, and then also is still busy at Simmons Library. Khalil, you're a relative newcomer to the Kenosha Public Library system. Tell us just a little bit about where you come from originally, and I'm especially curious to know what got you interested in libraries in the first place, even before it became your vocation.
Yes, sir. So I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been working in libraries about 7-8 years. I got two aunts that were librarians growing up. So I grew up working at academic libraries, high school libraries, like shelving. I always say this joke. Pretty sure I was shelving wrong at like 5 and 6 years old, but I was shelving. So that's where my love from libraries came from, my aunts. Just always growing up in libraries because for the summer we would be with my aunts. And so they were, while they were at school, we would just be in the libraries, me and my sister working. And I got a history degree, and it's not much you can do with a history degree. But once I got that degree, it was kind of like I knew I was going to get into libraries because nothing else really made sense for me.
What drew you to the Kenosha Public Library System? I mean, when this became a possibility for you to become part of the team here, what did you find compelling or attractive about what they were doing here?
About, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, I got my master's in public administration, and I just figured, I was a youth services librarian at the time, and I just figured, hey, I feel like it's time for me to become a manager, and I saw that the library was hiring. I interviewed with Barbara and a couple more people, and it was just a great interview. We had a couple technical difficulties at first, because they couldn't see my face. And they were like, oh, no, it's okay. I was like, no, I want you to see my face. And I think that, like, really, like, sparked something. And it was just, I don't know, just good energy. And just they were telling me about building this place and about all the staff. And it was just a good fit for me. They gave me my first chance to be a branch manager. So I will always be grateful to Barbara and the other two leaders that were there at the time.
So you have come aboard at an exciting time for the whole public library system, but of course also in terms of the building of this brand new library and helping to get it off the ground. What kind of a challenge has that been for you and your colleagues?
It's been a challenge, but I had Heather here. We had Sean. I'm always a team player. I never take credit for anything because I could never do anything by myself. Heather, Sean, Barbara, Brandy, even past staff members. It wasn't just me at all. If anything, I was probably the person that knew the least because I was coming into this. But I've been dedicated. Everybody's been dedicated. But this person right here is the person. These two ladies right here are the ladies that the people that really got this library going and just really got everything set in motion. And they're the reason this place is so beautiful. It's not me.
So I'll turn it over to you, and why don't you say something nice about Khalil Griffin and the difference that he's made here, modest though he may be.
Well, the thing is, you know, we pulled our children's section out of the Uptown Library so that there's more space for adults and teens there, and it's only a couple blocks away. And so Khalil, being the manager over there, knows all of the kids who were coming into there, and they have been here instantly because of him. He's really brought a lot of children into the library, so it's been wonderful.
So what kind of relationship do you try to foster with the youngsters who come here?
I just try to make sure I am a role model, somebody they can come to. I wish they came to me more with homework, but someone they can come to just about anything. I make sure I know their names. I make sure they know my name. I make sure I know their parents. I make sure when their parents come in, I learn their names. I make sure their parents know who I am. And I'm just big on community. So it's kind of like we are all a big family. I just try to relate to them as much as I can. Talk to them about any problems they're having. Like I said, I wish it was more focused on school sometimes, but, you know, once you get to know them, you get to understand what they like to do, what they don't like, then you can always ease the books and everything in their face. But just getting to know the kids and their parents is very, very important to me.
I imagine that's maybe in some ways the best part of the job.
It is the best part of the job, besides having good staff members to help you out. Because, like I said, I can't do any of these things alone. And even some of my more shy staff members, I feel like they've come out of their shell just seeing me interact with the kids. Because if the kids see you're having fun, they're naturally going to have fun. And once the kids get comfortable with me, they warm up to everybody else. So it's just a trickle-down effect.
Sure. Well, of course, part of what prompted the creation of this facility is some really serious concerns concerning literacy for young people, but you've also touched on the fact that it really helps if kids think of a library as a place that's fun. I mean, if it's this serious gray-looking building where people sit quietly, I mean, that might serve a function, but chances are you're going to be turning off a whole lot of the kids that you need to reach the most.
Right, that's true. I always say, and Sean was just saying this earlier, I think when she was talking to y'all, basically you got to trick them into learning. if they're having fun and they don't realize they're learning, that's great. Because everything we in here that we have in here is basically STEM related. So it's building all kind of different motor skills and just everything. So while they're interacting and playing with each other, even just playing with each other is still socializing. And with COVID, a lot of these kids weren't socializing with other kids. I like to just say, if they're having fun and they're learning, you really can't beat it, because they're going to come back. And just seeing the kids' faces when they come in here, you see them wild, and it's just amazing.
Very good. And that's Khalil Griffin, who is the manager of KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts and also the Uptown Library, which is still there, still as lovely as ever. Heather and Sean, we should talk for a moment about what I touched on, which is kind of the serious concern involving literacy among youngsters in Kenosha, because that's a big part of why this library is here. Tell us about kind of the nature of those concerns and why it's something that all of us should be thinking about.
Well, in my humble opinion, literacy is the root of everything. It is the gateway to success in life, right? Not just being somebody who likes to read books. You know, people can be literate and not like to read books, and that's totally fine. But just think about needing to interpret forms that you need to fill out, or going to the doctor's office, or, you know, a rental agreement or something like that. There's a lot of things in life that we need to be literate for. And so it's a really big concern that our children are falling behind in that respect.
Right. In other words, this is about more than creating bookworms. That's not really the goal. It's just giving people the skills, or helping them foster the skills which allow them to just kind of navigate through the world. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen some of the statistics, but I have to say I was not prepared for just how alarming some of those statistics were from just a few years ago. Maybe give us at least a rough sense of what we're talking about, and then some indications of progress that's maybe already being made to address some of that.
Khalil, are you able to remember any of the statistics?
I believe, and I don't exactly quote me on this, but I believe under 30-40% of the African American kids in Kenosha can read. That's in third grade, can actually read on a third grade level, which is awful. And I'm pretty sure it's under 30%. And that's, and we have to do something about it. So that's where this library, part of the reason this library came about.
It's very difficult to measure these, you know, any sort of progress, because these statistics are coming from test scores. And that's not something we can do here in this library. And really, there are a whole host of reasons why this could be happening, and we're just one piece of the puzzle. So we're doing the best we can with what we are able to do, which is provide books, provide literacy-rich environments, and opportunities for play and socialization.
Right. I suppose part of this is hoping that some of those youngsters who are in the most acute need will come here. What is done to try to make that happen, so you're not just waiting for kids to find you? Are there ways in which the library can be doing outreach into some of these populations where there are youngsters that really need what is available here?
Well, this neighborhood right here is one of the central areas where literacy is low, reading levels are low. So that's why this library is one of the reasons libraries in this area. A lot of the schools in this area have some of the lowest reading test scores, unfortunately. And as far as, so we have an outreach team. We have programs, we have a marketing team to get out into the community and bring literacy to the community. It's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. We're doing everything we can. Every department is doing everything they can to just make, not even just this neighborhood, but just the literacy rates in Kenosha better.
Right. One of the things that somebody was saying is the fact that, although I think most of us know that a library is free, a library card is free, the things you can do here, it's all free, but that's probably lost on somebody who has not spent much or any time in a library before. So I want to give you a chance to kind of reiterate all that is available here and the fact that it's free.
Yeah. I feel like at least once a week, I'm asked if a program is free, if a library card is free, if being in this space is free. And the answer is always yes. It's if you are a Kenosha resident, a library card is free to you. It's only not free if it's out of state and not even in Milwaukee County, right? But other than that, totally free to have a library card. Our books for children are fine free unless you never bring them back. So they can be late and you're not going to have that issue. Our programs, of which we have very many, story times, STEM programs, art programs, cooking, all that sort of stuff, they're all free. You should definitely take advantage of your public library.
Very good. Sean, I want to give you a chance for a last thought on just all that is offered here, all that is available, and what you think is especially exciting.
Just one thought? I think the most exciting thing to me, again, is the power of play. And I've always known how powerful it is, but really in this setting, like I said, I spend a lot of time observing kids. And Khalil talked a lot about having fun, which we all talk about a lot, and that's so important. But we know that we can trust the kids to create their own learning, and I think that's what's most exciting for me. And I'm just so glad that we can give them that opportunity.
That's great. Khalil Griffin, the last word is yours. Your last sales pitch to get youngsters and their parents and grandparents and whoever into the doors of this beautiful place.
Thinking about this the last 30 seconds. It's nothing at the library that more than likely we can't get. Before you go out and buy something, even if it's video cameras, it can be video games. Before you go out and buy it, just call us and see if we can get it for you. 90% of the time, we can. And if we can't, we're going to try our best to get it. So before you buy something, literacy related or not related, or just something fun, like I said, video games, cameras, anything, toys, pots, like cooking pans, literally anything, call us before you go out and buy it, because we more than likely have it or can get it.
So it sounds like the headline here is you're here to help.
We are, and to serve.
Very well put. Khalil Griffin is the manager of KPL Kids at Uptown Lofts. Sean Wolf is the learning coordinator. And Heather Thompson is the head of youth and family services for the Kenosha Public Library System. Thank you for welcoming WGTD into your beautiful space. And thank you for all the good work that you and your colleagues are doing on behalf of this community.
Thank you, sir.
My thanks to Scott Nelson for his technical assistance with the preparation of today's morning show. And I would encourage you, if you can, to seek out the video version of what you just heard. I believe it will be posted on WGTD's Facebook page as well as on our website. And of course, needless to say, you need to visit KPL Kids at the Uptown Lofts yourself, right there in the heart of the Uptown neighborhood on 22nd Avenue. Be forewarned, 22nd Avenue in that stretch just south of 60th Street is torn up rather seriously, but there is parking available to the west, and it is very much worth visiting this beautiful facility. Coming up over the weekend, a couple of interesting morning shows from the archives. Tomorrow, an interview I recorded back in 2017 with Greg Albright, who is with All Saints Hospital in Racine, chronic disease management pharmacist, a conversation we did about opioids. And on Sunday, in the podcast, we'll be replaying a conversation from many years ago with Dr. John Wind, a former choral director at Carthage College, talking about the memorable alumni choir tour which he led to Europe back in the late 1990s. On Monday and Tuesday, you'll hear my conversation with the author of a book called I Hate It Here, Please Vote for Me. It is the work of Lawrence Ferentz, a instructor in creative writing at Allegheny College, who decided to run for political office as a liberal in an extremely conservative county in Pennsylvania. And his book is an interesting examination of that, as well as what's going on politically in so much of rural America. And next Wednesday and Thursday, two interviews about the upcoming Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival coming up a week from tomorrow. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Today we will have mostly sunny skies, a high of 73 degrees. Overnight, a low of 52 degrees. Sunshine continues tomorrow with a high of 76 degrees. Sunday, sunny and a high of 79. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine, Elkhorn in Lake Geneva. WPR News from